People told me I couldn't do a lot of things.
I feel like I'm the chosen one.
Look at this. We created this. This didn't exist before we were here. All we are is proud and passionate. I love Toronto. I love this team. And we're going to the NBA Finals.
Nothing matters but winning.
Welcome back to episode 89 of Rapsville Weekly. I'm your co-host, Gabriel Celio, alongside
Adam Casucci.
And I know it's been a while, guys. It's been almost 3 weeks since our last episode when we were getting ready for the NBA Finals. And the NBA Finals did pass, but we were waiting to put out this episode because we wanted to place more focus on the NBA draft that is coming up on Thursday. The day we're recording this right now is Tuesday. So we're almost there, and we're very excited as Raptors fans holding the fourth pick. We're going to talk about the finals first, but before we get into that, as always, please like and subscribe. Check us out on Instagram at Rapsville for NBA news and Raptors content. Let's get us to 10K. And leave your comments down below on who you guys think we will draft with the fourth pick and who do you want us to draft. Okay, so let's talk about the NBA Finals first, Adam. The Milwaukee Bucks did win the NBA Finals in six games. I predicted that the Suns would win in six, and I was sadly very much so mistaken. And my good friend Jalen ended up being a very happy man that the Bucks did win. So sorry for rooting against you, Jay. And Adam, you predicted, I believe, Bucks in seven, which you were definitely closer than me.
Yeah, I thought the Milwaukee Bucks would be the stronger team. There's a lot of issues, I feel, for the Phoenix Suns this series, just starting off with DeAndre Ayton. I didn't think he had the same impact as he did in the other series due to Milwaukee's jumbo lineup and their size. He didn't get those 20-20 nights that he was getting before in previous rounds. And I felt his drop of play really hurt them, and he's like their third star, right? So he really ups their game and brings Phoenix to a new level. Booker had a fantastic series, but he had issues closing games when they mattered most. And it is his first playoff, so you can't really fault him too much. But he did lose a couple games single-handedly for just at the end of games, trying to play hero ball, which a lot of Phoenix Suns fans were complaining about. And I know the ball should be in his hand, but I think there was too much isolation play for Devin Booker. And the Phoenix Suns coach, Monty Williams, he always praises that he likes the ball being moved in the Phoenix offense. And we didn't really see that from Phoenix in the last games of the series. So I really felt that that's where they struggled. CP3 wasn't himself. I don't know if it was because of the shoulder injury he was dealing with earlier. He totally didn't disappear. He had some good nights. He had turnover issues. But I think it was really initiated by Jrue Holiday's great defense, which he played tremendously. And also one other thing I wanted to talk about before I hand it over to you to explain the Bucks game is Dario Saric's injury. I think he was a big loss for the Phoenix Suns. I feel that the Suns were already a down in size. So losing him as their backup center really hurt them. And that allowed great play for Bobby Portis, really seeing some mismatches on the inside and really connected on a lot of shots.
I just wanted to say, you know, I think Phoenix did a great job of taking game one and game two like I thought they would. I thought they were going to do it in six. And then game three, you just saw basically no one on the Suns playing well. Game four, I believe that was the game where Booker did it sensationally at 42. But I think that was the game where he was single-handedly trying to will the team back. And then in that fourth quarter, he couldn't do it and missed tons and tons of shots. But he was playing great basketball, sensational for three quarters, but then in the fourth, it didn't come around, you know, when it matters most, which is obviously very unfortunate, for them. And then even game five, he had a 40-point night, but, he averaged 28 points per game in the finals, and those are honestly great numbers, but like you said, there was times where it was tough to close out games, and some games that mattered a lot. In the final game, he had 19 points, but it was on 36% shooting. Obviously, that's not great, especially when you have also DeAndre Ayton putting up 12 points, 6 boards on 4 for 12 shooting in the final game, two of their top three guys shooting that low of a percentage. And Booker even had 10 points on that game 3 night, 21% shooting, when it was basically a write-off for them. So they had their own struggles to deal with. I think for Milwaukee, you just basically saw how good Giannis Antetokounmpo can be. You saw how good Chris Middleton is and Jrue Holiday when they're on their game. In the beginning, I believe game two, Middleton, I believe, was definitely quiet. And I believe Jrue Holiday as well. But in the later games in the series, you saw how big they came defensively and offensively. You know, Jrue Holiday with some of those last minute strips. You obviously saw Giannis drop 50 points in the final game. What a fantastic performance that was. In game five, they all pretty much almost put up 30 points each. and Jrue Holiday had 13 assists. So you really saw them three play fantastic basketball to end out the series, and it definitely gave the Bucks the edge. I feel bad for the Suns, really disappointed. I wanted to see Chris Paul win that ring. Devin Booker, being as young as he is as well, it would have been nice to see him get that. I think if they keep the team the same way, there's obviously a chance for next year, but this was definitely a great opportunity for them, and I'm kind of disappointed that I saw it play out this way.
Yeah, no, it was a good final, though. I can't say it was a bad final. I thought the Bucks had all the necessary pieces to do it. You got your scorer in Middleton, you got your great point guard, two-way point guard in Jrue Holiday, and you got your star in Giannis. So they had the pieces. I'm very happy for Giannis, like he said in his live, and he also posted about it. He did it the right way, and he's very happy and cherishes that. It's kind of like subtle jabs, Gabe, towards guys like LeBron, KD, kind of joining some of the super teams and winning their rings that way, per se. But I think Giannis did it the right way, and I like the way of loyalty, sticking to the team that drafted him and really building there, sticking with them, getting the max there, really developing with that organization, and he really deserves it.
Brought them the chip. It's been... who knows how long? It was like 60 years, right? That they were without one. So, yeah. Obviously, it was fantastic for them. And, you know, I still got to give him credit. I still give him Giannis a shout out because he did do it, you know, by himself year after year, making the playoffs, becoming that first seed almost like a couple years in a row. They're always top contenders, the Milwaukee Bucks, but the playoffs were always that problem, and they were finally able to do it. And like you and I both know and believe, I think Jrue Holiday was a perfect addition for them this year and gave them exactly what they needed offensively, defensively. And you can see in some of those games, it was really important, his efforts. And so shout out them. Congratulations on the win.
Yeah, you want to get into the good stuff, Gabe? Get into the golden stuff for the Raptors fans.
All right, so if we're looking at the NBA draft coming up, so the Raptors hold the fourth pick. And I think the first pick, I think we all know, is Cade Cunningham. I know that there's stuff about Detroit, you know, looking around for trades, and they're not guaranteeing they're going to get Cade, but I think everyone kind of says that for the first pick. Almost every year, the first pick is like a guarantee, and I think Cade Cunningham's a lock at first. Second and third is a toss-up. Houston's been saying, or there's been reports, that Houston's wants Jalen Green. And in doing that, that would allow Mobley to fall to third. Although Cleveland does have Jared Allen, they're unsure what they are going to do with him, I think. There's been a lot of talk about possibly giving him up. The Raptors' name has been connected to Jared Allen, so I think Mobley will fall to Cleveland or Houston. I don't think that we're going to have the chance of getting him. And I think Jalen Green, by the sounds of it, it sounds like those three guys are going to be locked in those top three positions. So really the talk is, do we take Jalen Suggs? Do we take Scottie Barnes, who we've been ranting and raving about apparently? Kuminga, and also we've heard conversations about trading down and swapping picks, us in OKC, fourth for sixth. I'm not too sure what I think about all this stuff. Honestly, it's a lot to take in and a lot of rumors coming through. What are your initial thoughts, Adam?
Right off the bat, I was thinking, obviously I wanted Mobley, but after seeing how everything kind of stacked up, Detroit looking for Cade, Houston, Green, Mobley, what, Cleveland, and then I was thinking Suggs. Just these upcoming days, kind of looking at videos, highlights, and stuff he's been saying on the media. I like the way he plays the game first off, but I do like his heart. I think his heart really brings him to the next level. When you look at these young guys, you obviously see their potential, but you really look at things like their work ethic, their heart, their desire to play the game, their desire to work. And I really see that in Suggs, and I feel like Toronto would really treat him well.
I want to preface that earlier on when we were talking about the initial draft, we found out we were getting fourth pick. We really were against Suggs and were really for Jalen Green. I still think Jalen Green is would be a good pickup. But now looking at it, looking more into it, I think Suggs does have a lot more qualities than we thought. One thing for sure is that we thought he was much smaller than he actually was. Looking on the court, he looks like he's about a 6 foot, 6 foot one guard, but he's actually 6 foot four. And he does have insane verticality. I've seen him do tons of dunks, being even a lob threat. So the height is not as bad as we thought. And one thing we have to note is that we also learned a lot about his defensive abilities. He seems to be a great perimeter defender, and he's even, I even watched clips where he's been, you know, switched up and he's been brought into the post, and it's like mouse in the house, but he has done a good job at keeping the big man at bay and putting up strong contests. He's got blocking ability because of how much verticality he has. He's very athletic, good playmaker. He can create for his own, good in the pick and roll. He has a lot of upsides on things that I've seen. So honestly, I think once you lose that top three and we're guaranteed someone else besides those guys, Suggs, in my opinion, has, I think, the best floor as of right now. He is the most probably NBA ready, and he probably has one of the best potentials in the draft as well. Obviously, if you look at guys like Scotty Barnes, we're told that he has insane defensive abilities, and if he gets trained properly in the NBA, gains a jump shot and whatnot, he'll be unreal like the next Kawhi Leonard, and he's going to have a huge potential, huge upside. I know for Suggs right now, he's definitely has the highest floor, so he's currently probably the best, and I think he still has a high potential and a high ceiling.
Yeah, there's endless things you can say about this guy. You could also bring up the point that Gonzaga, they went with 30-1 and just lost the final game in the NCAA tournament. Obviously, he has great players around him, Kispert, Timmy, Ajayi. There's so much guys that were great around him, but he was the vocal point. And to me, it kind of reminds me, once again, of Freddie VanVleet, Wichita, always a winning guy, wherever he went, wherever his high school, to college, to NBA, wherever he goes, he brings that winning mentality. And I feel Suggs kind of follows that, and he has a lot of confidence. Even him hitting in the semis, hitting the game-winning shot from half court, takes a lot of confidence to take that shot, and he did it. And that's a huge thing for me.
Yeah, it's a huge moment in, I think, NCAA history. And to have someone like that would be, I think it'd be very valuable for us as a franchise to bring in a player like that. It's very respectable. I think that he plays with a lot of passion. We've heard a lot about him. We've watched some videos on his connection to the game, you know, emotionally with his friend Xavier. I think he has a lot of reasons that he's going to be a fantastic player. I think that he is aggressive. I think he can shoot the ball. He's not proven the consistency much yet, but he's also hasn't been with NBA development. And we've heard from countless players, Adam, like how the league is so much different than college. And really, the more time you spend in the league with those coaches, the much better, like much more you'll improve. And consistency is always a thing that a lot of the younger players don't have just yet. So I think it can easily be worked upon. But besides that, he already brings that defensive IQ. He already brings pick and roll offensive IQ. With the ball in his hands as a playmaker for this team, it can be very valuable, especially because all the Lowry talk of him possibly being moved. I think Suggs is probably the safest bet for the fourth pick.
Yeah, and I feel like the Raptors franchise have some, they're really comfortable when drafting guards. You can see last draft with Flynn and Harris. And I think it's because Masai understands that Lowry and VanVleet, they're going to take those young players under their wing and develop them. I noticed that they're not too fond on the big men, but we need them obviously this draft, maybe with our second picks, which we'll talk about later. But yeah, I feel like the organization really likes their guards, and I think Suggs is right there for the fit.
Yeah. I was going to say that in the top, you want to take the best fourth pick, especially you want to take someone that can be a generational talent. And Suggs is probably our best chance at getting that. We haven't seen a pick this high in quite a while. And, after looking at that, if we want to take wing players, if we want to take big men, that can always be done later in the draft because there are not too many of those guys that are ranked, you know, such highly. Like seeing big men, there's not too many. Yeah. You got Evan Mobley up there. And besides that, you don't have that much. So when you're seeing that we have the 46th and the 47th pick back to back, that's honestly fantastic for us because we can easily use one of those on a big man. And we can take, if there's one guy that we really like, we can take them and then we can take a chance on another right after. There's no worrying about if someone will take a pick from us. So especially right now, one of the mock drafts that I've seen, we've been looking to take our more wing players and big men in those slots at second round, which is totally fine with me. And then taking Suggs at the very start to get the best talent out there. Even if he starts off the bench first year, it doesn't matter. Yeah. Someone with that type of potential, you got to take it.
I was going to just ask you, Gabe, where do you think he's going to fit in if we draft him first season? Let's just say Lowry stays in this situation. Lowry, VanVleet, and then you got Suggs playing in that bench role with Gary Trent. Do you see them two really succeeding as a pairing?
Yeah, I was going to say, if Lowry stays, I guess we're assuming same type of lineup. So Lowry, Fred, OG, Siakam, and Birch at the center. Looking off the bench, then, we still have Chris Boucher. We still have Gary Trent, most likely. And now we have Jalen Suggs. And then from there, the last couple of things will be interchangeable. Maybe some Watanabe playing time, maybe some Stanimal. I'm not sure what's going to happen with Rodney Hood and whatnot. Looking at that lineup, I think it can be very effective. We've seen that Jalen Suggs is good in the pick and roll. So when I'm talking in that sense, I think with Boucher, we've seen pick and pop action that's been great. And he's got great potential for pick and roll as well. That would be really good for Jalen Suggs. With Trent, we've seen that Trent can be a great scorer for us. And I think Trent takes on the Norman Powell role very well of a scorer. And I think his catch-and-shoot game is going to be very strong. I don't think that the ball needs to be in Trent's hands. Suggs doing the playmaking will take a lot of pressure off that, especially because Suggs is not too strong on catch-and-shoot side of things. I think him and Gary Trent might be a good young pairing. Obviously, it's going to be hard to tell. You can't always – nothing fits perfectly, but – I do think that it's going to be very interesting to see how good of a bench we have this year compared to last year, because last year we did struggle quite a bit. So I'm curious now with an additional of, the fourth pick off the bench, if it does pan out that way, plus our other young guys, what will happen?
No, yeah, I think there'll be much more, it'll be much more offensive off the bench. I feel with Suggs, Trent, and Boucher, you got three guys that could, and Flynn, you got four guys there that could really score the ball. So that's a big boost for something that we've been lacking last year. And it was a really big downside of our game, and we really want to improve that since we were known as the bench mob a couple of years ago, right? So we want to keep that trend going.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting for sure. Even the dynamic between Suggs and Flynn, what happens? I'm not too sure. I think that this draft will be a big one for our franchise, considering we have three nice picks, two second rounders in decent spots, and obviously such a high first round pick. It's a big opportunity for us to shape our future, especially with Kyle Lowry's future being uncertain. This is a good chance to create that next step for us as a franchise.
Yeah, Gabe, I'm also hearing a lot of speculation on Ben Simmons. This name is really being brought up around, obviously, Jared Allen, we've been hearing, but a lot of Ben Simmons, sign and trade, Kyle Lowry. What's your opinion on that?
Yeah, this is tough. I was going to also mention that all these young pieces that we're acquiring and all these draft picks, they also can be great assets for the future, even someone like Malachi Flynn. And that kind of connects to this trade talk. I don't know what the heck we just heard, because there was I don't even know what to call it, a mock trade, quote unquote. Yeah. There's multiple sources saying that the 76ers asked Toronto for Kyle Lowry, Fred VanVleet, OG Anunoby, that's three of our starters, plus the fourth pick overall for Ben Simmons, the man who can't hit the jump shot and is cursed by Kendall Jenner. They want us to trade three starters, a total contract of about, I don't know, $60 million, and the fourth pick for one guy who is a point guard at 6 foot whatever, 10. That's all we have.
Yeah.
I don't know what. Are they out of their minds? That's like three guys. Like Joel Embiid is like, I don't even know if Joel Embiid would draw that much. Like three guys plus a pick to that caliber for three starters.
Yep. I was walking by my living room, Gabe, the other day, and I saw, I was watching Wimbledon. It was a couple weeks back, and I saw in the final or the semis, Ben Simmons was there with whatever, his new girlfriend or whatever. And it just, I don't know, I guess it's vacation time for the stars, but he just doesn't look like a type of guy that that really, in the interview too, he said, okay, I'm going to work on my jumper. I'm going to really be fond this offseason, really going to work hard, really going to try to improve that part of my game. But it just doesn't seem like he does it. It feels like every season the guy's saying the same things over and over again with no improvement. And I feel like the guy's just a bunch of all talk. I feel like he's not ready to work, but I do think that if he does see new scenery, I feel like even if the jumper doesn't fall for the rest of his career and he doesn't get it to work, I still think he can be a good player, but the attitude has to change. The work ethic, the attitude, those two things are so important, And I don't know organizations that are going to take a chance on him. Maybe the Knicks, they're scrambling for someone right now. I don't know what's going on, but I wouldn't take him in a Raptors uniform any day.
Yeah, I'm not even sure. Work ethic and that stuff, I can't attest to any of that, so I'm not sure. But I think that all the talk, he's got the backup. We saw how messy it was in the playoffs once the Sixers were eliminated and those reporters were absolutely attacking him. He's got some work to do this summer, and I don't know what Sixers were thinking. Like, if they said maybe we swap first round picks, like we gave them the fourth, we took their pick, I don't even know what pick they have, and then we got Ben Simmons and they got Lowry, I wouldn't want it, but I would understand maybe the proposition. This mock trade, I don't know what, this makes no sense. So I don't know what the heck they thought was going to work, but obviously Toronto rejected it. I'm not even thinking about that. I don't want to see that happening anytime soon. But we did hear a bunch of, talk about lowering our pick to the sixth. Pascal's name's been brought up with Wiseman and the seventh pick for Golden State. I've heard a lot. Honestly, I don't know what's true anymore because there's all this fake rumors coming out too.
Yeah, I feel like the eye has to be on Suggs right now. I don't want to move down for a Barnes or Kuminga. Kuminga, I was reading something saying that he was like another version of Siakam, very athletic, likes to drive. The IQ isn't there yet, and doesn't shoot the ball at a high percentage. Same thing with Scotty Barnes, but instead he's a better defender. Out of the two, I'd rather pick Barnes because I think he has more potential. And once I hear that Siakam comparison for Kuminga, my head just spun three circles, and that's not for the Raptors again. Not going through that rodeo. I think Barnes over Kuminga, but trading down I think would be the worst thing for the Raptors. They got their fourth pick. It's either you trade up or stay with the fourth.
Yeah, I honestly haven't heard too much about. I think I heard one thing maybe about trading up to third, but I don't think it will happen, honestly. Unless the trade somehow involves acquiring Jared Allen, but I don't think it will. I don't see trading up happening. So honestly, all the talk about trade down, I don't think it's a good idea. I think we just take the best pick here. And even if Jalen Suggs isn't a part of our future, it's still, you want to take the best guy. He'll have the highest trade value. You can do the most with him afterwards. So I think you definitely want to go for him. And the second round picks, honestly, we don't know for sure. Once you pass, Adam, once you pass the seventh, eighth pick, it's from there, it's a scramble. The ninth pick turns out to be the 12th. The 10th turns out to be 11. And then 13 ends up being 27 somehow. Like, it's all over the place. So it's really hard to judge who will end up being our second round pick. So I guess we're going to see who we get first. Then we'll make a video on them, kind of analyzing their game a little bit. We've heard some names, but I don't want to speak on it just yet because it really is always a toss-up when you get to second round.
Yeah, and if there's a guy ranked, projected to be drafted 15th, and he's there to like the 45th or something, the Raptors got to pounce on that. I remember years ago with Bol Bol, and they ended up picking up DeJuan Hernandez. So the Raptors got to pounce on situations like that. Sometimes, especially with the Raptors' current roster, you can take risks on younger players. I remember Denver, they took a risk on MPJ. Look where he's at now.
Yeah.
So sometimes you have to take that risk. But I don't see Masai doing that even though if someone drops, but I hope he does.
Yeah, it's going to be a toss-up. Like sometimes some of these draft stocks that you see, the picks from like 52 onwards sometimes don't even get drafted. So it's really, really hard to decide what we're going to get. Honestly, I'm hoping for the best here. I think Suggs will be the best pick, and then from there, I just hope that we get just players of good potential. We got great development on our organization. We know that. We've seen guys, second-round picks, undrafted guys. We've seen how good they can become. So I'm not worried. I just want to see a guy that has some intangibles or maybe just some super strong strengths and weaknesses that can be worked on. We can do the developing. It just has to be there, finding the guys with the right mentality as usual. That's going to be key for us, and just whatever we can that can push us over the edge. I just want to also draft the right positions. I don't want to draft three guards or whatever if we don't need three guards. You know what I mean?
Yeah, especially drafting two last draft, and then obviously Jalen Jalen with having the drug issues and not being able to play this season. I don't know. Well, obviously, if we're picking Suggs, we can't go another two guards. Like you said, it's just it's unacceptable.
Yeah, so honestly, it's hard to do these predictions because it can go so many ways. So I guess we're going to have to see you guys next episode sometime after the draft, and we can do a breakdown on those second-round picks along with maybe, who knows, if something crazy happens, some big trade. I don't know. So stay tuned for that. We hope you all enjoyed this episode. Like I said in the beginning, please like and subscribe. Leave your comments down below. Let us know who you guys want in each of the picks. And check us out on Instagram at Rapsville for NBA news and Raptors content. We hope you enjoyed. As always, that's us signing out. Peace.
Peace.
You know, people don't really understand how obsessed I am with winning. It's not, I don't care about anything else.